So Jean, introduce us to you, and I'm going to start with Max's questions. Who are you and what are you here for?
Hi, Zinta. My name is Jean Hess, and I've lived in Kalamazoo, Michigan since 1982, when my husband and I moved here so that he could become the basketball coach at Western Michigan University. I found work at Kalamazoo College in 1984 as the basketball coach and proceeded to have a 35-year career of coaching, teaching, being a professor, and the chair of the phys ed department by my retirement last August. So I am a professor and a coach, yes. I'm an athlete. I'm an advocate. I am an author who just can't stop writing books, even though I don't enjoy doing the writing process. I'm a mother and a wife and a sister, and I care deeply about this community and about the subject of my book.
And so we've elected you in this city, haven't we?
Oh, indeed. I forgot the word commissioner.
Yes. How could you forget that? Yes.
It's so new. I ran for Kalamazoo City Commission last summer and was elected in November.
I knew you would be.
As a member of the Kalamazoo City Commission, it has been a learning experience. It's been a wonderful experience because I will tell you from talking to people in other cities that Kalamazoo is doing something right. Kalamazoo is poised for even better things in the future. And I am proud and happy to represent the people of Kalamazoo on the City Commission. It's really been an honor. It's been very humbling and very, very enlightening. I love the people that I've run into in my new job as commissioner.
Well, you're very well loved in this community. I know you back from your K years, and you were an icon over there. And so I had no doubt that you would be, and your commitment to the community. But mostly today, we're going to focus on your new book, your second book. The first one was Sportuality. This one is called Maxability. With those questions I just asked you, who are you? What are you here for? Tell us about this book and introduce us to Max.
This book has the title Maxability, and it kind of goes along with the sportuality because I have this thing with words. Sportuality was about words, their intent in sport for a more joyful outcome. Who wouldn't want a joyful income?
There you go.
For a joyful outcome, Maxability is about really creating your intent. And what are you here for? And really deeply asking those questions of the reader. I met Max in November of 2007 as I was recruiting his sister, Courtney, to my volleyball team at Kalamazoo College. I was high up in the bleachers. There was a young man sitting in front of me. He was in seventh grade, and he was very busy. And he turned around and looked at me, searing eyes at me, and said without hesitation, "Who are you and what are you here for?" Well, I kind of perked up a little bit thinking, why is this young man asking me that?
And in that tone.
And in that tone, it doesn't go away. I ask the reader, are there times when you have that moment when those words don't go away from an encounter? I said, "I'm Coach Hess. I am here to watch number 5. I'm recruiting her for my team at Kalamazoo College." And he turned back around. He then turned back around to me and said, "That's my sister. And I don't want her going to Kalamazoo College. And I don't like things that sting. We are the Kalamazoo College Hornets." He knew a whole lot about me and about Kalamazoo. He knew it was 3 hours away from their home. And he did not want Courtney to leave. You see, Max has had a very full life up until that point. He was adopted from Russia. He works with the special Max abilities of ADHD, anxiety disorder, and within somewhere of the autism spectrum. And so he struggled to find how Courtney going to Kalamazoo would be a good thing. And he knew that I was the nemesis. I was the person that was going to take her away. Fast forward, Kalamazoo College, it has Courtney Nartker as a volleyball player, and I begin a relationship with Max. So Max is interesting, to say the least, but for me, what ties Max's ability to sportuality is that Max is a sportual character. Max told me that he wanted to be the next Ernie Harwell. For those of you who may not know, Ernie Harwell was the iconic 50-year announcer for the Detroit Tigers. Because my boys had been involved in the Tigers organization for a series of years, I grew up as a Tiger fan. I resonated with Ernie, and I knew Ernie at a soul level, and I loved him, and I fell asleep at night with a transistor radio under my pillow listening to his voice. So when Max told me he wanted to be the next Ernie Harwell, I listened. And during his sister's time at Kay, he became our announcer for our volleyball games. I wanted to treat him as if. So his ability was there. His desire was there. His openness, his creativity, his humor was there. And we had a wonderful relationship. And then Courtney graduated.
But you haven't lost touch with him.
I have not lost touch with Max.
And obviously, this book has probably been in the back of your mind for a very long time. Talk about 2004, while you're meditating and you're thinking about your radical view of the church. Explain that and explain what happens while you're meditating.
Out of the silence, Zinta. And I write this in the book, and I wondered if I should say anything publicly about this because it could be kind of kooky. But in my meditation, where no one else was home, I heard a male voice, and it said, "He made himself abundantly clear." And I opened my eyes and went, "Who? Who are you and what are you here for?" Before the questions were asked of me, and no one answered. So I had to go to what was known in my soul, that for me, he was Jesus. And he had made himself abundantly clear that we were to love our neighbor, that we were to become one, that we were to practice the Beatitudes. So I let that sit for a long, long time. And knowing that, and knowing then Max's soul coming forth to me, I knew I had to write the book. I hesitated because I had a full-time job, and to write a book is not an easy task for me. Some people just whip them right out, but it wasn't an easy task because I knew I would have to do a lot of editing and coming back and recreating things. Max's mom said, "Yes, you may write the book. You can tell our story." And Max's mom also offered to write their part of the story. You see, the reason that she and Ron, her husband, went to Russia was because they had lost a baby at 23 days old of a genetic disorder. They still wanted to be parents to more children other than Courtney and her brother. So they sought adoption in Russia, and they adopted Max and Elena, his sister. So Linda writes the tale of birth and death and grief so eloquently. Mm. It was the least edited thing in the book.
Yeah.
And then she also wrote the tale of going to Russia and the adoption, which also has its moments. So Linda has helped create Maxibility. I believe that those stories weave through with the stories of Ernie, with my thoughts about becoming one with the cosmos, and then finally with me re-answering those questions at the time where I was when the book was finally finished.
A lot of this, as you've said, Linda Nartker, and we should give a nod to Robert Weir, your editor and kind of co-author, right?
Hi, Robert. Yes. He sat with me in the process.
I wondered if you could talk a little bit about overcoming cultural differences, any type of differences, and how we welcome different into our own lives.
Thank you for that question. Difference, to me, is unity. Before I retired from K, we had a lot of focus on diversity, inclusion, equity. And then to have the book come out and to one of the first events that I attended, and I attended with Max, and Max and I spoke together. It was with Transformation Spirituality Center, and it was a series on inclusion. So there were three different events about inclusion. I don't see Max as different. Max makes me a better person. He draws forth my desire to connect. In spirituality, one of the words I define is this word education, which literally means to draw forth. So Max, as my educator, has helped me draw forth patience and communication and joy, and he gets it, and humor. And the one thing that he will draw forth from me and that I draw forth from him is his enthusiasm. And so if you can look at the soul of whoever it is with whom you interact, if you can see to their soul, that is inclusion. That is going across a cultural barrier. Where are they coming from? Who are you and what are you here for? If you can continue to ask those questions of them and of yourself on a daily basis, we are going to become a much more inclusive and culturally aware society and look past illusions to the conclusion of what is the soul of the person.
There's that cultural difference, too, as Linda tells the family story of going to Russia and learning how they do things, the whole adoption process, and then thinking about these two children that they bring back with them. What are they used to? They weren't infants. They weren't blank slates. They already had something written on those slates. How did the family handle that or welcome that?
I think the family was very welcoming, and at the end, you know, Linda describes their meeting at the airport with the entire extended family of open arms, like, thank God, welcome, welcome, welcome. The Narkers are a wonderful, welcoming family anyway, but the children were. Elena was almost 2, Max was 4. They had institutional behaviors. They were very regimented. They had lived in rooms with other children the same age and not with a lot of stimulation. And so they did have institutional behaviors.
Yeah, I was struck with how they went to sleep, 3 fingers in their mouths, how they approached food, that Max would hold food in one hand while eating with the other. And that gives you a glimpse into the first years of his life.
Right. And if you know that story, if you allow someone to tell you their story, and you can then understand where those behaviors that currently exist kind of have their roots, and we're much more accepting and less judgmental of another.
You're kind of addressing my next question, which is power of story and why stories are important. I love that saying. You're going to have to remind me who first said it. Once you know someone's story, it's impossible to hate them.
Joan Chittister, Sister Joan Chittister, who visited Kalamazoo last year, and she was talking about the other, and she said, when you know their story, it's impossible to hate them.
Yeah, absolutely true. That's how we make connections. That's how we realize at some basic point we have more in common than not. So where is Max today? You said you still meet with him.
Max is rocking.
And I've got to say, Jean's face right now is just lit up.
Max is rocking his life. He is currently in Plainwell. The family hails from Midland, and they live in Midland, Michigan. And Max has chosen to be the last year and a half here in Plainwell at the Michigan Career Training Institute, studying retail. So he and I have been able to be together a lot. When he was back living in Frankenmuth, really, We would talk and text and Facebook, but for us now, we've had dinner on Wednesday night of this week. He and I just went to speak to the student group at St. Thomas More, my home parish, to the students and to tell our story of Max's ability. So that's been so much fun, and it's been really fun to reconnect because Max is 26 years old now. When I met him, he was 14. And so our stories are kind of intermingled, and he's going to go back. His plans are to go back home and to continue his job till we get out on the road and begin telling the story of Max and Max's ability and the abilities of people rather than their disabilities and
what
inclusion.
What does he think about this book?
So Max had a hard time with it taking so long on my part. Max learned patience during the time of, he knew I was writing a book about him, but I don't know if he knew the subtleties and the intricacies of the weaving back and forth with my story and the team and his story. And so for me to be able to create the story took a long time. So he learned patience. And what I told him, Max, you have to learn now God's time. And he'll say, oh, this is God's time. and it all happens in the exact right order.
Love it. So, Jean, when you turn this around on Max and ask him, who are you? What are you here for? What does he say?
Max apologizes to me for not being the next Ernie Harwell. But what he will say to me is, I'm Max Narker, easy to meet, hard to forget, with a big smile. And he'll say, I am here to tell people about Jesus. He's a wonderful Christian man with a great faith and a willingness to serve. And my sense is that he's going to find that along the way.
When you're going to be doing this book tour, is Max going to be with you at here and there?
I would hope so. It's all about Max.
Thank you so much for coming in, Jean. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Zinta. I appreciate you.